combine our high-stress lifestyles with high-cal diets, and you have a recipe for, at best, an expanding waistline. So if you, like me, have found yourself trying to eat your stressors away, you probably already know it's a lose-lose proposition. Now, joining me by phone to discuss the issue of emotional eating is Geisinger Medical Center dietitian and nutritionist Julia Grocki. And Julia, thank you for your time.
I appreciate it.
Let's start things off by making sure we're all on the same page here. So I want to ask you for your best definition of what emotional eating really is.
Emotional eating is eating in response to stress or any negative emotion. And actually, it could be any happy emotion as well. And it's not just emotional eating that you need to watch out for. It's also mindless eating, because so much of our eating, we just don't pay attention to.
So it's part of the problem that this emotional eating is hard to self-identify, because I know in my own situation, my wife will always catch me mid-snack and ask if I'm really hungry. And as you might know, the answer is usually no, but I didn't realize that until she actually asked me the question.
Exactly. And so much of our eating is, like I said, it's mindless. And so we're just eating because we're used to doing it. So once we slow ourselves down and we start thinking about the reasons why we're eating, we'll see that most of the time we're not eating because of physical hunger.
So what do you recommend, Julia, for us to help identify that we're emotional eating or even mindless eating?
Slowing the process down. Before you go to put that bite of food to your mouth, ask yourself if you're actually hungry. See if you have any of the signs of physical hunger. Is your stomach growling? Are you a little dizzy, a little lightheaded? And a lot of the times, the answer will be no.
And so why is it, this is sort of my own personal question here, hopefully someone else will benefit from it too, but why is it when we eat emotionally, it's always something that's bad for us? I'm never emotionally eating carrots or celery, if you will.
Exactly. And a lot of the foods that we do tend to binge on have high fat, high sugar content, a lot of sodium. And that's because that's the food that changes our brain chemistry. We get a higher release of a lot of endorphins from those foods like serotonin and dopamine.
And so I understand that you, Julia, had your own struggles with emotional eating. And there may be a lot of folks out there who can benefit from hearing your story if you're able to share that with us today.
I started emotionally eating at a very young age, actually, when a friend of mine was getting sexually abused, and I didn't know what to do for her. So we were in grade school at the time, and I started to show her that I loved her with food. And I used to comfort myself not being able to help her with food for myself. So that pattern started at a very young age, and then I just continued to abuse food over the years. I had gotten up to about 280 pounds, actually, in high school, and I did lose about 100 pounds. Because I started to run, I wasn't able to run the mile in gym class. And I was really very embarrassed by that. So I started to run just for that purpose. And I did lose 100 pounds, but then I had a lot of health issues, a lot of stressors. And so I ended up not being able to do that much exercise. And I used food to cope with all those stressors. And I ended up getting up to 350 pounds. So I broke and I decided, you know, I couldn't go down the same path. And I started to journal about a lot of my health issues. And then when I went back to read my journal, I realized that a lot of it wasn't about the health problems. It was about my food addiction, how much I was using food to cope, how much I hated myself. There was so much negative dialogue in my head that I didn't even know was there. And a lot of it was very embarrassing. It was stuff that I would never say out loud to people. But once I started to read that and identify that I did have a food addiction or emotional eating, a compulsive eating, there's so many different names for it, I started to research on how to change that kind of thought pattern. And so it took quite a while, but I was able to slow myself down and realize that I could do other things besides use food to cope with especially negative feelings and stress.
We're talking emotional eating with Geisinger Medical Center's Julia Grocki, who just shared with us her own struggles with it. And it begs the question, Julia, did your own journey then encourage you to become a dietitian and nutritionist?
Absolutely. In losing over 150 pounds, I had so many health benefits, and I was in chemistry originally. And I decided to switch gears because I just wanted people to understand that they weren't alone, that a lot of those thoughts that they have in their heads are shared by a lot of people, but we just don't say it out loud. And so I wanted to spread the word that you can stop this negative dialogue, you can rewire your thoughts, and you can learn, you know, the reasons why you're eating and then stop eating so much and stop sabotaging yourself.
And you called this a few moments ago sort of a coping mechanism, which by definition sort of means that this eating never really gets to the heart of the problem, does it? And so if that's the case, what did you do or what do you recommend others do in lieu of this sort of emotional or mindless eating?
First, you have to identify the feelings that you have and then figure out what you can do with them. So say you're angry and that with a family member, and that anger makes you want to eat. Well, eventually I got to the point where I can then tell that family member that I'm angry, and it wouldn't say reach for a Reese cup to try to fix it, because no matter how many, you know, peanut butter cups they reached for, that would never fix the anger that I felt or fix the fact that I had this difficulty in this relationship. So really speaking with people helped a lot. I would journal, talk with friends, meditate, pray, especially exercise. Exercise helps reduce stress. It helps get those endorphins going, makes you know, the symptoms of depression and anxiety pretty much go away. I was depressed for a very long time, and instead of using antidepressants, now I find that if I exercise regularly, I don't have to take any medication. So there's so many things that you can do. There's so many hobbies that you can use as outlets that are not related to food. And it's really up to the person to figure out what they want to do, because everybody's different. So everybody will cope with their stress and their emotions differently.
Okay, and we've been talking with Geisinger dietitian and nutritionist Julia Grocki. And Julia, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.